President Trump has yet to concede to President-elect Joe Biden. But consider what's going on in South America right now. Peru is poised to have its third president in just 1 week. And in neighboring Bolivia, an exiled former president is back on the scene. Robert Albro is associate professor of Latin American and Latino studies at American University, and he joins us to talk more about what's happening there. But let's start with Peru, where it's been going on for quite a while. Francisco Sagasti is set to become the country's next interim president after the legislature impeached President Martin Vizcarra. Lawmakers took that step partly because of his handling of the pandemic. Professor, some saw this as a legislative coup, but there are other political reasons the Congress wants a new president, right?
I think there are sort of two parts to the story. One is that, as you alluded to, Peru, amongst countries in this hemisphere, has been hardest hit by COVID. And this has had a tremendously damaging effect, as it's had everywhere else, including in the United States, on the economy and economic growth. This has meant that it becomes very hard to govern. Vizcarra's presidency enacted, not controversial reforms or laws around trying to maintain control over the spread of the virus, but has been unsuccessful. That left him vulnerable. But I think the main issue was that Vizcarra had taken aim at something that meant that the entire Peruvian legislature became implacably opposed to his presidency, which was the issue of corruption. Now, he, of course, has been charged with corruption as well, unsubstantiated claims of accepting bribes and influence peddling. But he was unexpectedly very popular because of this anti-corruption effort. And that then meant that Peru's popular masses were behind him, and it was extremely unpopular that he was removed. And this sort of underscored for many the nature of Peruvian politics as a game played amongst elites who pay little attention to the majority of the population of the country as they enrich themselves and engage in parliamentary shenanigans of the sort that saw Vizcarra's exit. So I think it just epitomized for many the problems that Peru's structures of governance have had and the ongoing constitutional crisis that's provoked in that country.
So Francisco Sagasti is the interim president for now. These are really big challenges that he has to take on in building stability for that country.
Absolutely. I don't think there can be a greater situation of uncertainty that he's stepping into, and I'm sure that he is concerned about the extent of the effort that's going to have to be undertaken to restore confidence in Peru's political system. There is none at the present moment, but also to deal with the virus, which is just rampaging. And it's not clear whether anyone is in a position or would be in a position to ably respond to those circumstances, those twin crises.
Professor, let's turn to Peru's neighbor, Bolivia. The former president, Evo Morales, returned to the country last week after his protege was sworn in as president. And just to take us back to that time, Morales fled the country last November during nationwide protests after he claimed victory. Is this a new power grab for Morales?
It remains to be seen. I would say that at the moment he's marching triumphantly through the country, being received by large crowds and celebrated after having been in Mexico and then Argentina since he was forced to leave Bolivia. And it's an unprecedented situation with a newly elected and installed president having to, which is to say Luis Arce, having to contend with the presence of a still quite popular ex-president who might conceivably have ongoing political designs, as yet to be determined.
What does all of this instability, do you think, mean for the Biden administration and its relationship with these two countries?
Whether or not the Biden administration can make the case that it is a different administration and that U.S. policy in the region promises to be more productive on multiple fronts, from Cuba to Venezuela to the economy, simply remains to be seen. Latin American countries, I think in general, are increasingly beginning to conclude that it would be better if they were less dependent upon changes in the vagaries in the U.S. political system, and so are also open to such things as investment from China, and maybe adopting as a region a kind of more independent stance vis-a-vis its neighbor to the north and, you know, the European Union, et cetera, playing more options rather than just seeing this as a bilateral, the one key bilateral relationship that has to be managed.
Robert Albro is Associate Professor of Latin American and Latino Studies at American University. Professor, thank you so much.
Always good to talk with you, Tanya.